May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be always acceptable to you, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. I wonder if you've ever thought about who sat in your pew before you. Maybe it was a family. Maybe it was a single person. It would be kind of cool, even though this is something we probably wouldn't want to do in church, if they carved their name on the wood in the back of the pew. Not suggesting anything to anyone. Maybe right between where your shoulder blades are. What if it had all the names of everyone who sat where you're sitting right now? Of course, it wouldn't be that many since this church was only built in 1954, but we'd have to go across the street to the old church that I can see through the window right there to see the other names. Names that are actually still there in the stained glass and the brass plaques of St. Nicholas. You know, a couple of years ago, I was in the Holy Land in Jerusalem at the Church of the Holy Sepulchre, a church that's been there since the 300s. It was built by the Emperor Constantine over the place where Jesus' tomb is believed to have been. And when I was there, I saw where people had carved, not their names in wood pews, they actually don't have any pews in that church, but they had carved crosses in the stone walls of the church. It was the custom during the Middle Ages, when you made a pilgrimage to Jerusalem, to carve a cross to mark that you'd been there in the Church of the Holy Sepulchre. And they're still there. The graffiti of the Crusaders, 1,000 years later. And I touched them. They aren't protected in any way. You can put your finger right on them, because 1,000 years isn't so long in that place. It was amazing to think I was standing in the same place, not just as, you know, Winston Churchill or Mark Twain, but also as Richard the Lionhearted or St. Helena of Rome. The Feast of All Saints, which we celebrate today, is a reminder that we are all standing in that place whenever we come to any church where thousands and thousands of faithful people have stood before us, prayed the same prayers, maybe had the same worries and dreams, and that their wisdom, their work and ministry is still with us, is a legacy that we've inherited. We haven't carved any names in the crosses in the pews. Don't do that. The property committee probably wouldn't like it very much. But we have inscribed names on the altar. We've brought photos of those who have shared their love and prayers with us and whose love and prayers we affirm today are still with us and always will be. And today, in baptizing these two very young people, we're passing on that inheritance to them, that those who will later make their mark on our world and our church. It's an inheritance that both we and our ancestors in faith received from Christ, as our reading from Ephesians says today. So what is it that we want to pass on to them, to these two little babies? What is the inheritance that we've received and we want to share? Well, I think that inheritance is also something we need very much today, this week, at this time in our world. And that thing is hope. The writer of Ephesians says, "In Christ we have obtained an inheritance, having been destined according to the purpose of him who accomplished all things." In other words, we have hope because we know that God has a plan for us, that we are part of God's plan for justice and peace for all people. We are expressing that hope when we baptize new members into life in Christ. We're saying to them, we have hope in God's future, that all we do in our work and ministry will be made worthwhile by God, and that God's love will triumph in the end. And we're also saying to them, this is the hope that we've staked our lives on, and that we want you to center your own life on. And it's a hope worth having. Hope might feel like it's in short supply right now from what I read in the newspaper, maybe from what you read too. It seems like people aren't feeling very hopeful. They're feeling anxious and worried. There's certainly enough going on to make us doubt God's promises. There's certainly enough going on for us to doubt what Jesus has to say in Luke's gospel today, that the poor will be blessed, that those who now weep will one day laugh for joy. So where do we find hope in those circumstances, or in whatever circumstances in our own lives seem less than hopeful? I wonder what would happen if we could turn around and maybe read that name carved in the pew behind you, and then somehow reach through time and ask that person, what about in your day? Was it this bad? Where did you find hope when the going was tough? I wonder if they would say to us, Remember that we who have gathered around God's table in this age and in ages past, remember that we know a deeper truth. We know that love always wins. We know that death is not the end. We know that the poor and the meek will be blessed and justified. We get hope from the saints that we have known and that we know. Those faithful people working often in very small ways for the cause of love. Every time we see a person serving someone in need or reaching out to someone who is lonely, that's an act of hope. And hope is catching. We get hope from knowing that we are not alone, that we are part of something much bigger than ourselves, this communion of saints, this cloud of witnesses. Our part in God's plan might be a very small one, but it takes a lot of drops of water to make up the ocean. We draw strength from our memories of the saints we've known and from the way they remind us of God's goodness. Each loving touch, each word of witness we remember is something that we carry forward in hope. And from that hope, we can find the strength to continue to pray and work for a world that is just and peaceful and loving. The writer of the letter to the Ephesians says that the church, past, present, and future, is made up of those who hope in Christ, who know that God so loved each and every person that God gave whatever it took to bring us back to love, who know that nothing can separate us from God's love, who choose to hear that truth of God and believe in it. The saints of God are those who keep the faith, who hold on to hope, even in difficult times. We remember those saints listed on our altar today. We remember all the saints who are here today, and we baptize these children into that hope today, that they might one day be numbered among the saints. Amen.